You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Everybody, welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. My name is Wes, and Steve is not with me today. I am doing a solo intro. A solo intro? Cilantro? Oh boy, this is getting out of hand already. Anyway, we are doing our top five mere mortal rescue squad. And not only that, we have a very special first-time guest. Our friend Susanna comes on to help us count down the top five. And because Steve and I are both still terrible at podcasting, we forgot to ask her her plugs during the actual podcast. But she sent me the stuff she wants to plug. She wants to plug her show, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at PH Comedy Theater in Andersonville, Chicago, from September 17th through November 6th. So if you're a Five and Out fan in Chicagoland, or if you're just planning to visit, I recommend that show. It's going to be awesome. Not only her, but friend of the show, Dan, will be part of that production as well. So without further ado, let us get to the show, because let me tell you, it's a good one.
Susan, do you have any pets?
I do. I have a cat.
You have a cat? Oh, you said it was an older cat, right?
Yes, she will be 12 on September 9th, I believe.
That's old for a cat, right?
Yeah, her breed apparently can live to like 18.
Oh, she's a tiger.
Yes.
Yes. You need to open with that.
She's a Burman, which is like, it's like essentially a long-haired Siamese, it's like a friendlier Siamese.
Okay.
So she's real prissy and real
old.
Except that, like, you would never guess looking at her that she's that old.
So she sounds like an old socialite. Old prissy.
Oh my god, that's exactly what she is. She is, yeah.
Nailed it.
She's like, yeah.
But you're a big animal person too, right?
Yeah, I just like animals. And that, like, I'm not particularly a cat person, but I was nannying for this family. And they had these cats, because she's like a $900 cat. She is a pedigree cat.
And they just handed her to you.
Yes, because their child developed allergies.
Ah, that sucks.
Oh, man. You got to be careful with your kid.
Absolutely. Oh, there's,
yeah.
Well, if that's the case, like, Luna is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So even if the kid has allergies or not, like, we'll figure something out. Luna's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I love my dog.
Kind of the way I would be too. I'd be like, sorry kid, you're gonna have to learn to get used to shots.
Yeah, right.
Like, or that's why they make boarding schools.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
So my Luna Pooch, my Luna. Favorite is my her name is Luna.
Oh. I thought that was her breed. I was like, what is that?
No, tell of the Pooch family. Oh yes. A long storied line. My little Luna Poochie, she went to the vet because they're like, she should have some sort of like dental exam. She's 3 and a half. It's never been done. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. They found out one of her tooths
your name
is broken. And
wow.
So
on the inside?
Yeah. So they need to pull her tooth. And I was all right, like, better to catch that now.
Yeah.
Like, so she's not in pain, whatever, fine. So send her to the vet. They have to knock her out. She's there like all day. They pull the tooth and I get there after work. They bring me in the examination room, like, to tell me about, like, and this is the medication she'll need, and this, and blah, blah, blah. It's a great vet. They've been fantastic. They're doing exactly what we asked them to do and what we paid them to do. But I hear behind the door, it's not Luna, but it's another dog just, like, crying behind the door.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, they've got, like, crates there for when,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, and I know it's not my dog, but, like, in my mind, all I'm screaming is, like, give me my dog! Give me my dog right now!
No.
Like, she's not happy, and I'm not happy!
Poor baby.
So Luna, and whenever I see Luna, she's, especially at the vet, she's normally, like, jumping up and down, so excited to see me. She's so drugged up, because they put her under for the whole day. She comes out, kind of like this drunken sailor dog.
No.
And she comes over, and instead of, like, jumping up, she like, collapses at my feet and starts quietly sobbing. And so she's like, oh, no. And I was like, "You monsters!" And like they did a phenomenal job. They did exactly what needed to be done.
Her teeth look great. I mean, look at her.
Imagine how you're going to deal with pediatricians.
And that's exactly. I got home and like I am way more like jacked up by this than I thought I would be. I get home and I'm like, I'm petting her. I'm like hand cutting her food. Yeah. So like, and then I tell my wife, I was like, it's like, man, I am kind of like jacked up about this. She's like, I see. I will be taking our child to every doctor's.
Do either of you have doctors in your family? I mean, I presume neither. You're not a doctor. Steve.
Well,
I presume. But
also
I don't know.
Happened this week.
Oh, you made it finally.
Do either of you come from medically inclined families?
No.
I do. My mother was a doctor, my grandfather's a doctor, and my cousin is a doctor.
I've got this. Could you look at this thing on my back?
No.
Yeah, that's medical knowledge is hereditary, right?
Yeah. almost. That's beside the point. The point is, my mom used to say that no one wants to be pediatricians, and it's not because of the kids, it's because
parents.
Of the parents.
Sure.
Yeah. And I kind of get that being a nanny.
It's because
not that,
of me.
Yeah. No, you'll be a great dad. You'll be cool, and then you'll like talk about your pediatricians on podcasts.
I mean, I'm not worried about being a good dad, but I'm now starting to see the spots where I feel like I'm not going to be the good. I'm like, oh, this was a surprise one. I didn't think this would be a thing for me, but apparently this is a thing for me.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one of the dark spots of parenthood, I suppose.
Did you ever do, I mean, I guess it's less common for dudes than girls, but did you ever do any sort of like childcare?
No, I'm an only child. So I didn't, my wife.
I'm an only child as well.
High five.
High five.
Yes. I didn't have
I
little...
have a brother.
Shut up.
Get out of here,
up,
Wesley.
Get out of here with your family.
All right, bye.
We're more messed up than you.
No, never had the, you know, taking care of the little brother, little sister kind of thing. I didn't have a bunch of, like, baby cousins when I was, you know, of age to do anything with baby cousins or anything.
Did other parents entrust you with their children?
Oh, all of the time. And all of those children have been lost. They are.
It's amazing after the first one, other parents kept coming to you.
They're like, surely he can't continue to make the same bonehead mistakes.
Somehow he has to learn. Yeah.
And I just don't. I do not.
Well, Steve, I don't have any drunk dog stories, but I did get some keys made at a hardware store this past week. I know.
I love doing that. It's like a technology that's been around forever, and it's so quick.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either.
It's crazy. But I wanted to bring this up because I walked to this huge hardware store and I got so lost. And I tried to ask people where to go to get the keys made. And the way they tell me to go, I know nothing about hardware in case you couldn't tell. You know, everything about me.
What about software?
Oh, that I got that on lockdown.
Yeah?
But
know a lot about
me,
computers? Okay. I need to.
What is happening?
Wes, I would
you know
like
nothing
to,
about hardware.
I
Tell
would just
us
like
more.
To point out that the idea of you going to a hardware store saying, I don't know anything about hardware, and you're talking about getting keys made. It's not like you have to, like, you're putting new plumbing or like building a deck.
You're getting like the smallest thing done that you
and
can
you don't
get
even
done at a
do
hardware
anything.
Store other than buying one nail.
You give them your key and you stand there. That's what you do.
Do we just like shit on Wes during this podcast?
Oh,
that's kind of what I got from the.
Basically, what happens. Even when people know me.
Yeah.
No. So I just kept getting lost because I kept getting lost. I got lost once because people
Wait. I'm sorry. I have to ask this. Which hardware store was it?
It's the Clark and Devon Hardware.
Oh, okay. So it's a private like. Yes.
It's not.
It's not like Ace.
Home Depot.
Or
the Crafty Beaver.
The Crafty
Beaver.
The hardware store in Chicago.
Which is my hardware store of choice.
I haven't actually been there yet. I always go to Andersonville Hardware.
Primo.
See, like anyway, if I had a beaver, it'd be more clever than crafty.
All right.
But that's
move it
point.
On.
The clever
anyway,
beaver.
The clever beaver. That's
the cleaver beaver.
The story's beaver already gone on way too long.
I took
a wrong turn.
You were at the hardware store.
I'm at the hardware store. Guys, buckle up, because shit's about to get real. It's at a hardware store. Didn't know where the key desk was. And I said, hey, where's the key desk? Said, it's over there by the pipe fitters. I say, okay. I don't know what pipe fitters look like. I just keep walking and I hit a wall of other hardware. So I'm like, what do I do? And that's my story. I eventually found the key desk. It's been on way too long, guys.
Wow.
Wait. Yes. What? So you cried out, what do I do? And they found you and they helped you?
Yeah, because when you're lost, you just have to stay where you are.
No.
And they eventually closed.
In Japan, as I learned once.
Where you should get your keys made.
Once upon a time, I was 12 and we went with my Japanese teacher from middle school to Japan with...
On a whim or a field trip?
Yeah,
or?
Just a whim. Yeah. No. she would do these trips. Mm-hmm. Every year, and this was the first year she offered it to her middle schoolers. And we're in this department store, this really nice Japanese department store, and the adults had told us, like, okay, we're gonna give you 30 minutes or whatever. 30 minutes comes to an end. The one girl and I find ourselves completely separated from the group. And also, we can't find our way to the lobby because everything's written in Japanese. Sure. And though we have studied Japanese at this point for 3 years, we don't know enough Japanese to get ourselves back to the lobby. So we're walking around for about 10 minutes. So now we're like 10 minutes late for a meetup in a foreign country on a field trip. And then over the intercom or whatever we hear... Japanese, 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 Japanese. Lucy and Susanna. Japanese, Japanese, Japanese. And we're like, that didn't help at all. We're still lost. We don't know where you want us to go because although we had studied Japanese for 3 years at this point, we still didn't know enough to get out of there. So eventually, I don't even know how we found our way out of there.
Susanna, let me tell you, you're still there.
Yeah, well, no! Okay. Oh, fuck. Jesus.
I would love that if you're like Japanese, Japanese, Japanese. Susanna and Nicole, you're like, do you think that's for us?
Yeah, right. There must be another Lucy and Susanna here in where were we? Tokyo.
This sounds like the setup for Home Alone 6, the straight to DVD.
Yeah.
One more thing, Wes.
What's up?
I saw Batman vs Superman this week.
And how was it? First, did you see the extended cut or the regular cut?
I've heard terrible things.
Right. I had heard terrible things as well. Wes watched the extended cut, which is supposed to be much better, like the week previous. I went to
It's already out on DVD?
Yes. Just came out about 2 weeks ago.
That's what
I know. I red-boxed it. One of those things where I went in with the bar set super low. Mm-hmm. Super low. And I didn't utterly hate the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, despise it. Many of the things that I was fearful about in the movie came to fruition. I'm like, I really don't think Wonder Woman needs to be a part of this movie. At all.
No.
I think the part where they kind of quote unquote set up the Justice League is so obviously just shoehorned in there.
Batman just basically watches trailers of the other Justice League movies.
Yeah. For no reason. The villain that they bring out at the end, I feel, is a complete waste.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
For those who, if you're interested and you don't know by now, whatever, spoilers.
Is it a spoiler?
Yeah, just give us 2 minutes on it.
You guys, this is a spoiler.
But yeah, I know. So I won't go into it now. It's Doomsday.
I mean, I may see it eventually, but I won't care if it's.
It's Doomsday.
There is a character called Doomsday.
Doomsday is the guy who kills Superman in the comic books.
Oh.
So he's a big villain.
Oh, okay.
And they just bring him in as this really crappy CGI'd
Krypton
villain.
I heard him described as the cave troll from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I thought similarly as well, with a couple extra spikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was a total waste.
I just like how Susanna was so proud of herself for remembering the word kryptonite. We're so proud of you, Susanna.
No, okay. I know that much. But I couldn't remember. The planet is Krypton.
Yeah.
The stuff is kryptonite.
Right.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
Speaking of which, Jesse Eisenberg is horrible.
Oh my god, he's so terrible.
Cringeworthy.
Is he Doomsday?
He's Lex Luthor.
Oh,
who brings about Doomsday. Because he's just horrendous. Like, honestly, if you have the two best superheroes, the two best, or at least Batman's the best, Superman's somewhere in that top five-ish range.
Yeah.
If those two dudes cannot fill your movie for you, you are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And they add so much extra stuff, and it's just this big, fat, bloated thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are cool parts about the movie. The first time they interact is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it's so heavy-handed. It's so dark. There's so many things that it is not. But as I was watching the movie, I was invested from scene to scene for most of the time. Until I got towards the end, I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, at first, I was like, I got a full head of steam. Here we go. I'm ready. I want this to be good. And then as it went, I was like, running out of steam.
It's hard. It's real hard. But especially the ending.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil that because it's just too dumb to be spoiled.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
By the ending, you're kind of, okay. Okay.
All right.
It's.
So watch it. Watch it, guys.
It's not great. But I was honestly expecting going in to give that movie a 20 by the time I was done. A 20 out of 100.
20 out of 100.
And instead,
you heard it here first.
I'd probably give it a, I don't know, I'll stick it somewhere like at a 60.
Wow.
Whoa, really?
That's like a high F. That's like.
I'll give it a 50. Yeah. I'll give it a 50 to 60.
So 55?
At my school, that was the highest F you could get.
Yeah. Believe me, I know.
So, yeah.
So, Suze, you're obviously not watching Batman vs. Superman.
Nope.
What are you watching or playing? What's the most recent thing that you've watched?
I don't play anything. I'll tell you that right now. But okay. I'm watching Difficult People on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I also started Casual on Hulu.
Casual? Is that the one about casual sex and casual dating?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, so the main characters are a brother, a sister, and the sister's teenage daughter.
Okay.
And the brother has started a dating website called Snooger.
Snooger?
Yes.
That just sounds wrong.
Didn't that sound gross?
It sounds really wrong.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, so like he's just kind of a miserable rich person who's doesn't do anything because he created this website.
Mm.
Blah, 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 blah. Suffice to say, yes, there is a lot of casual sex in it, but there's also like
emotion.
Emotion.
And heart.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and they just started the second season. Not that I would really know, because I watched it, like, all in the past 2 days.
Shotgun
it feels like, yeah.
Is it good, though? Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it, yeah.
Are you a Netflix and Hulu person? Or are you just a Hulu?
I am a Netflix. Okay. And you know what else I am? I'm one of those people who still gets DVDs from Netflix.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Whoa. I feel like we should put you in a museum or something.
I know. Yeah. It's the only way to get, like, the good ones.
Pop quiz, what is the last DVD you got from Netflix?
It was This Movie Is Not Yet Rated.
Oh.
Is yeah, that documentary about the...
Oh, like, the MPAA.
The MPAA.
That one.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
The series of letters I
can It's
remember.
Really, really disturbing, actually, like how secretive the
sure.
MPAA is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, it, like, you know, who's to say what the moral code for movies is? And they
sure.
do point out in the movie that, like, human sexuality.
Oh yeah,
is a big ol' no-no. But you can rape people.
Yeah.
You can murder them with an axe. You can blow them up. It doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get an R rating. But you show like pubic hair, and you'll get an NC-17.
It's funny. We were just talking about it. Real quick, last week, my wife and I went to go see this Korean action movie, just on a whim.
What's it called?
It's called Train to Busan. It's actually a zombie movie. It's
Ooh.
A Korean zombie movie.
I hear Korean zombie movies are pretty good, actually.
So the thing is, Korean action movies are really good. Uh-huh. They rarely do zombie stuff. It's not,
oh, okay.
it's not their
well,
thing.
Well, wait, wasn't The Ring originally? No, that was a Japanese movie.
I think so.
Sorry, that's what I was thinking.
But the most interesting takeaway for me from that was how not violent it was for what a modern zombie movie is.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think more about how in the U.S., like you just said, you can chop off heads and you can rip people's throats out and whatever. And like, yeah, fine, no big deal, whatever.
Well, and it starts to get to a point in American movies where it's just not believable anymore.
Sure.
You know, like this amount of violence, people would be dead instantly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Here you got the main character like bleeding from every artery in their body and they're still alive. And then
when you go, if you're in Europe, like they're way more lenient on sexual imagery. But they're really strict on violent stuff.
Yeah.
They're about the blood and the gore and that kind of thing. So, like, it's interesting that we have somehow
my parents
culturally
kind of raised me on, like, European art film.
Okay.
So I ended up seeing, like, a lot of the movies that would be kind of NC-17
sure,
in America. Which was weird just because then I would go to school and I would be the one talking about, like, well, then I saw this movie and this person was naked and this person, like, you know, then that made me weird, even though, like, my classmates were like, yeah, and then his head got cut off.
And Schwarzenegger ate a grenade and shattered it down his head. Like,
so speaking of sex and violence and movies and all that, Duncan Parker Newton Games. Duncan Parker Newton Games writes in his top five from last week's top five, which is, as you remember, the Olympic pentathlon.
That's
right. Steve and I brought five different events to our top five.
Wow.
We get creative.
Yes.
We do.
What did you pick?
Well,
oh wait, that would take forever.
We're gonna find out what
that
Duncan Parker Newton Games
be
picked.
Like listening to the podcast again.
So our number five event was the Olympian that we would like to do. And he picks Ellen Hoog of the Netherlands field hockey team.
Ellen Hoog.
Look it up, Steven. His number four is the who would win gold medal and bronze in an archery competition. He says his number one
is... Did you just mean gold, silver, and bronze?
What did I say?
Gold, medal, and bronze. Oh, Wesley, go on.
Oh, boy.
Wes watched a lot of Olympics. You can tell. You can tell.
Yeah, it's the gold, then the medal, then the bronze.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
I mean, silver is a medal. So
his number one, the gold medal, goes to Odysseus.
Yeah.
From Greek fame,
from,
the legendary
from
archer.
From Greek mythology.
Yeah, exactly. And his medal pick, or silver, whichever one you want to say,
metal.
Is one that he says might make us feel silly, and it'll definitely make your picks look silly in the competition, and that's Neo from The Matrix.
Yes,
come on, as an archer,
queen.
He says he can literally learn anything in seconds.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like the way he can direct those bullets with his hands and with The Matrix and with...
That is true. If he doesn't like where the arrow landed, he can just change reality.
He could.
And well, that is assuming that you are shooting arrows in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's
but everything is the Matrix.
But no, not everything.
Right?
Is
I know.
The real world is not the Matrix. So
yeah, but even in the real world, he's got some skills.
Well, I mean, kind of. How do you even know? He's in a spaceship.
Yeah, but in
with...
the real world, they've got nothing but time. So I'm sure he could learn.
Yeah, but not like archery set. Where are you going to find an archery set in the...
You're going to make it out of the bones of animals you've eaten.
Guys, it's a fictional character.
Exactly. The more reason why he could win.
Wes, you understand our entire podcast is generally based off of fictional characters, right?
I'm sorry, this is the first time I've ever been on the podcast.
Wesley Whitaker is a fictional character.
Wes, your Wi-Fi's not working. I can't look up Ellen Hoog.
What are you talking about?
Ellen
it's working just fine.
It's not.
How do you think I pulled up this email, Steve?
I'm not logged in. Ah, this is awful.
Oh, my God. So, Suze, let me ask you. When you think of archers from TV, movies, video games, or Greek mythology, whichever, what archers do you think of?
Artemis
from...
Goddess of the Hunt.
Wow. Okay. Good pick.
Yes.
But any others? Who would win gold? Artemis, gold.
Artemis would win gold.
She's a Greek god.
Orion would win silver.
Orion?
Yes.
Wow, these are classy picks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People are smarter than us.
We picked Hawkeye. Green
Arrow. Yeah, no
Katniss
Hawkeye
Everdeen.
For me. Jeremy Renner, I'm sorry. But...
I don't care. I still stand by Robin Hood winning every
archery
competition.
Okay, Robin Hood. Yeah,
there we
go.
That is a vote for Robin Hood.
We got Robin Hood.
He says, side note, my fiance claims that Robin Hood should be disqualified because he was a real person, not a fictional one. Boom!
Wow. Was he, though? Because, I mean, we could say, like, King Arthur was a pretty good swordsman, but, like... Was he, though?
Right.
We're talking about the fictional Robin Hood
to be fair,
the movies.
Duncan Parker Newton Games is one of the best friends of the show. I don't know if Duncan Parker Newton Gaines' wife is one of the best friends of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, and like, did the actual Robin Hood split an arrow with his arrow? I don't know about that.
I mean, where does the fact start and the fiction end and vice versa? Who's to know?
Who's to say?
Who is to be?
It's number three. It's number three, which was, what Olympian would we put into Mortal Kombat and what would their fatality be? Oh. He says, Lasha Talikadze. I hope I'm saying that right.
You're not, but great. No one does.
Georgian powerlifter.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
During the bit of the Olympics I actually watched, I saw this man set a world record by lifting 568 pounds over his goddamn head.
Damn.
He is an actual monster. His fatality would be lifting a dude over his head and then splitting them clean in half over his knee.
So one of the things I find fascinating, I watched this as well, I know who he's talking about. Oftentimes when we think about Olympic athletes, like Michael Phelps, this super long torso, this very fit, toned body.
A lot of times,
like when you think about even like strongest man in the world, like you think about like, Hafthorn Bjornsson, also known as the Mountain from Game of Thrones. You're this giant man. And this dude seriously looks just like the big guy that sits at the corner of the bar, like pounding pitchers of beer.
Oh, wow.
He's got this big belly that hangs over his like weight belt. Like, he's obviously a big guy. He's a large
Olympic
man.
Olympic athletes come in all shapes and sizes. Wow.
But he does not strike you as this premier athlete, you know, and a lot of times when you see these power lifters, it's this, you know, the veins popping out of the neck and this big like struggle for that last push.
Yeah,
over
well,
the
those
head.
Are just bodybuilders, and they're not actually lifting anything; they're just juicing.
This dude just he stands there, grabs the bar, and goes, and like straight
that quick,
straight up. It just goes straight up, and he holds it for a second and throws it down and celebrates. The dude, like looks like it was. Nothing.
Wow.
There's no struggle. It's fantastic. He's awesome.
Wow. Never heard of him. I need to look this guy up. His number two, the event that we would like to add to the Olympics. He says he would like to add professional wrestling to the Olympics. Now.
It's not already?
No. Not.
It was in the original Olympics.
No.
Not professional wrestling, like WWE style.
Yeah.
Oh.
He says, now your first reaction may be, but Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton, Newton Gaines.
Pro wrestling is scripted. How could you make that an Olympic event? To this, I would say, you know what else is scripted? Synchronized swimming.
Damn.
Oh, I know, right? Kind of just dropped the mic on that one.
Well,
sorry,
you could.
Sorry, just to specifically interrupt. Talking about going, damn. That's his pick for the lady, Ellen Hoog. That
damn.
Is, she's. Did you? I mean, did
I,
we?
Can she's
we,
a what?
Can we? She's a field hockey player.
She's a Greek goddess.
Can we take one more look? Because
she's Artemis.
Guys, that was five, and we're out. No, Ellen Hoog is. Oh God, Ellen Hoog is doing things.
Ellen Hoog.
Ellen Hoog.
Ellen Hoog. I don't care. You can call her what. Sorry, we were talking about something else, but. She's a good, very good pick.
His number one.
Ellen Hoog is the number one pick.
Anyway, his number one is the event that we would be best at and worst at. He says he would be best at fencing. He was trained in it for 5 years, took second place in our class.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Cool.
And he says the event that he would suck at the most is the men's gymnastics routine.
Like floor routine?
Yeah. He's had three shoulder surgeries and one knee surgery, so he's not agile.
Ouch.
So, yeah.
Wow, you know what? Since you don't know, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines?
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. He's one of our longest, most vocal fans that we have.
Well,
a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that number one explanation right there gave us some deep insight into the life of Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. I didn't know he was a fencer.
Yeah.
Didn't know the surgeries.
Wow.
I find that very, I appreciate that. Wow. Appreciate that.
These blank chapters in his past.
Do you know anything else? Like, where is he from?
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know anything about him. Except his face in
cool.
TV. Yeah, and the fact that he, just about every other week says, you are both idiots.
Wow.
He's right.
He did open the email with that.
Yeah.
I just skipped over that one.
Yeah, thanks, Wes.
Did he open it over that?
It's usually how the email. Actually, to be fair, that's how most emails from most people start. In fact, we've not yet had a single email where someone's like, man, you guys are so smart.
But Sue, so what would be the Olympic event you would be best at?
Me?
Yeah. Oh. If you had to go to Rio right
okay,
now.
Okay, so these are summer Olympic events.
Let's say a week ago.
Because I feel like we
over.
Would all be really good at the bobsled. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
You just gotta sit there.
As
you're
a
fine.
Team.
Yeah.
Put you on the spot.
I would be good at.
Or should we say more appropriately, the least terrible at is.
I would say swimming, but there are so many amazing swimmers out there.
But you think you'd be least embarrassed in that?
Yeah. Well, okay. I grew up like doing competitive swimming.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In the summers. So like I would know the best what I'm doing.
What is your event in swimming?
Breaststroke, because I'm tall.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And what would be the most miserably, horribly embarrassing if you had to go down and say, you have to do this? You'd be like, oh, God, please, nobody watch. Please, God.
You know what? I think most people would say butterfly, but for me, it's backstroke because I cannot.
Wait, your best and your worst are both in the pool.
Oh, wait. Oh, sport.
Anywhere.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant stroke.
No.
Oh, my worst sport?
Period. For the Summer
oh,
Olympics.
Oh, God. Probably.
To make you feel better, I chose any sprinting event because I am surprisingly slow.
Really?
Shockingly slow.
Huh. Shockingly slow.
I could sprint. I would be a terrible marathoner.
Okay.
I would be like, because here's my thing with running. Like, I like to work out, but running is boring as fuck,
I
can't do it for longer than like a minute.
Yep.
And so if I had to run 26 miles, which takes some like what is a fast marathon like
5 hours? I think.
Oh Jesus
four,
Christ!
Four, some, four
nothing
something.
But running.
Yeah.
For that long, like by the end of it, I'd be like in tears, like snot would be coming down
actually,
my nose.
Like, you say Are that. You... I don't know if you guys saw this. This is actually like not that funny, but kind of sad. But it's kind of funny.
What happened?
And last Olympic thing before we move on. Did you know that Olympic, I don't know if they call it power walking or speed walking.
Oh, my God. It's so stupid looking.
It's so stupid looking. But so I looked this up. The difference between running and the speed walking is that 1 foot must always be on the ground for power walking.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, God, that seems like even when I run that happens. And then my friend and I, we started doing it foot was up. So but listen to this, there was a dude, I want to say he's from Great Britain, and he was leading the power walking race, and it's like 47 miles or something. It is obscene.
What?
Yeah,
so it's longer than a marathon. How long does it take?
It's a long fucking time.
Ugh.
This guy who is obviously trained for years and years, of course, for the Olympics, the guy shit his pants.
No.
Oh.
Because he was ill, whatever it was, but like he obviously wanted to. He's made it to the Olympics. He's gonna do what he's got to do. Obviously,
oh, no.
He's ill. He shits in his shorts as he's doing,
so that he won't stop.
And he like, and obviously,
do people
not...
usually stop to go? Because I know like runners like are notorious for peeing on themselves.
He shits his pants, his shorts, and then the next video is him passed out, laying on the ground.
Oh my God!
He passed out. As he was doing the thing, I was like, at first, like Olympic power walker poops his pants. You're like, ha ha ha, power walking and poop, ha, stupid.
Well, was it like a precursor to a seizure or something?
I think he was sick.
Was his body like losing its function?
He was ill, and that's what it was.
That's
wasn't,
awful.
Yeah, it was like, oh man, I saw that, and I was like, man, like, I guess good for you for giving it a go, and like, and it sucks that. It's like, hey, my dad was in the Olympics. Did you get a medal? No, I shit my pants and passed out. It's like, ah, that's less
and
good.
Everyone saw.
Yeah. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out.
No.
Thanks, Dad. We're going to go elsewhere.
Oh, that's wherever you are.
On that low note.
Duggerbarger Newton Gaines.
Thank you so much for writing in. Because this led to so many different discussions, we only have time for one email this week. But thank you all for writing in. We always love hearing what you have to say. But we have to move on to this week's top five. Steve, what is that top five?
Of course, we're talking about our mere mortal Rescue Squad.
Of course.
Yes.
And to recap, of course, our Mere Mortal Rescue Squad is, you're in a sticky situation, Wes. You're trapped at the top of Nakatomi Plaza.
Ooh.
You're trapped in a serial killer's basement.
Ooh.
You're, who knows?
What
you're
is Nakatomi Plaza?
We're going to pretend you never said that with those things, you know, because obviously it's from, you're in Die Hard. You're in the movie Die Hard.
Obviously. So, Die Hard.
So you're in some sort of sticky situation that requires rescue.
Okay.
Who are the five people that are going to form your ultimate rescue squad to come get you out of that trouble?
That is the question.
Superheroes need not apply.
I didn't even think about this. So they're all they're rescuing us all together, like all five of them at the same time.
They can be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
That's even better.
So if you need to adjust your five accordingly.
No, I don't. They'll work together.
I realized looking at my list, there are so many villains on my list.
Really?
Oh boy. So my number five, I did not know what I wanted for my number five. When I went at this list, I tried to have a diversified portfolio, if you will.
Which is like our hot phrase right now.
Yeah, I know. Hot phrase.
Diversified portfolio.
My number, so
yeah. It's hot.
Get it.
Super hot.
So my number five, depending on the situation, you might want to have a sniper there.
I thought the same exact thing.
So I picked Erwin Koenig from Enemy at the Gates. This is Ed Harris's character, the evil sniper that is the scourge of Russia.
Really? That's the sniper you went with? Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
At first I went with Vasily, the main character.
Vasily.
Yep. Jude Law's character.
Jude Law.
Yep. His name is Vasily. And, but he's not as good as Erwin Koenig.
God, you have a way with languages. Man.
I mean,
you're
this
like a
tongue
Rosetta Stone.
Can do so many things.
Whoa, chips and salsa, ladies. Am I right?
This guy.
I can't believe I just said that.
That was a callback to two podcasts ago. By the way,
I can't believe you said it.
Thank you.
This guy performs feats that has the entire Russian army running for their lives.
Oh, shit!
He single-handedly destroys the morale of the Russian army because he's such a really good sniper. They don't know where he's at. He performs feats that no other sniper can do. And the only way, spoiler for Enemy at the Gates, is 2001 movie. The only way that he is defeated is he is tricked by Jude Law's character, Vaseline. So I want to go, no superpowers, but he's basically Deadshot with a sniper rifle. So I'm going with Enemy at the Gates, Erwin Koenig.
Nice, really good. Way to really glorify his name.
Yep.
I'm surprised you went, because I was thinking about snipers as well. I eventually left that off my list.
See, I know there's probably better snipers out there, but I wanted to go with something that I've seen.
But what I'm interested in is that you went with...
It's like how defensive I got, needlessly.
I'm interested you went with the evil sniper, because you could have gone with, I forget his name, but like Barry Pepper's character from Saving Private Ryan, who's a Deadeye sniper, and also a God-fearing kind of moral compass guy that I know you've seen as well.
To be honest, I didn't think of him. When I thought snipers, I thought sniper movies.
Because, like, so you're going with a Russian sniper as opposed to an American sniper from the same era. I mean, I see your communist traits.
Wesley likes
through.
To keep his enemies close.
That's right. Actually, it's a German sniper, so it really is the enemy.
Oh, it's super enemy.
Because
let's face it, I mean, obviously, the Soviet Union was an allied power as well, but they're always an enemy.
Whoa! Sorry out there, our Russian fans. All of them.
Sorry, Yuri.
Yuri.
The one guy out there. It's like
he's listening like in Siberia in an ice fishing tent.
The best.
Sorry, Yuri.
So I went with the
You
evil
should have a new
sniper.
Segment called Sorry, Yuri. So
we should.
You just like say offensive things.
About Russia.
Yeah.
Except, and we only apologize to our one
to Yuri.
Listener.
Yeah, that's right. That's my number five. Suze, what is your number five?
Ooh, number five. Chihiro from Spirited Away.
I've seen Spirited Away. Remind
the
me
the little girl. She's the main character.
You want the little girl. Interesting. Yeah. Child on the rescue squad.
Yeah, because children think out of the box.
It's true.
And they are also actually pretty good in situations of great stress.
Okay.
If
okay.
they are not the ones in peril.
I would like to point out right now, we are also hearing from a nanny right now.
So, yes. So I'm a nanny. I'm an expert on this.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If they're not the ones in peril, they are more than willing to help you out.
Okay.
And give their 2 cents.
So are you kind of setting the table where you've got the other four plus your
hero.
They're sitting there at the table trying to plot
yeah.
your escape.
Well, and like she's a brat at the beginning of the movie, but she matures. And I think like my sticky situation is like quicksand.
You're stuck in quicksand. All right.
Yeah, which is like a situation where you have to do some thinking and you have to do thinking quick.
Sure.
And there's communication that can happen with the victim.
Mm-hmm. You.
Me. It's me!
Despite the fact there were signs that say quicksand ahead, she forged on.
I was talking and I fell in and then Chihiro was like, oh, can I help you? And I was like, yes. Let's talk about this for the minute 50 I have.
Right.
But
like, as Steve was saying, like the child would be the one that there's the four adults or whatever pouring over their plans. Like this won't work, this won't work, this won't work. And the child.
Yeah. And she'd be the one like, hey guys, she's up to her chest now. Can we get this done? Like pretty soon.
Why don't we do this? And they'd also be like, oh,
exactly.
Didn't think of
think
that.
So you've got the essentially the clarity of the voice of reason coming from a child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Right.
Will
right.
ye be rescued from the quicksand?
I also find it interesting because when we're talking about it, I'm like we can be in any sort of perilous situation, whatever that's quote unquote sticky situation might be. It never crossed my mind to be in quicksand.
Yeah, yeah.
Never crossed my mind.
Well, that's because I watched
the live action Jungle Book.
Quicksand. The
yes!
movie.
Oh my god,
was
I
it?
Did!
Yeah, yeah, yeah!
Oh my god!
Is that good, by the way?
Yeah, and her father disappears in the. Oh my god,
yeah.
Yes! Oh my god, that was terrifying.
That scared the shit out of me.
That scared
when I was
the
a
shit
kid.
Out of me. And also, Artax in, Neverending Story.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
Trajan's horse. He falls in quicksand. Well, it's not so much quicksand, it's like depression.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like he
wow.
He can't stop thinking
metaphors.
Sad thoughts.
Yeah.
And he just like gets swallowed up by this quicksand stuff. And he, unlike what's her face's father in the Jungle Book, does not come back.
Mm-hmm. So bum bum bum.
Yeah.
And then there was a dude at the end of the live action Jungle Book who does fall in the quicksand and not get rescued. So I remember he just sank below and he washed his hands.
Was he a servant?
As it.
What?
Because,
wow,
like, it's, I don't know. Well, but it's also like East India Tea Company India. So like, I wouldn't put it past them to be like really shitty to people.
You know what? This is my number five is super similar to your number five.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Danny Ocean from Ocean's 11.
Are you?
It's.
All right.
It's so similar. And by similar, I mean it is the complete opposite, almost.
Are you also trapped in quicksand?
I am not.
Okay.
What is wrong with you?
I chose this team. Again, the hot take. Diversified portfolio. Diversified.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
But then, hot phrase, coming at you. Actually, I was thinking about, when I originally started thinking about this, I was thinking about casting a movie of what's the five guys or five like characters.
It's a hamburger joint.
It was, what do you want? Who's the interesting five? So you got to have one like this. You got to have one like that.
Oh yeah,
one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I am in danger. Mm. I am in a perilous situation. Fuck casting the roles. I need to cast people that are going to get me out of whatever I am in. That's what I need. So, but that being said, I didn't put myself into quicksand or, you know, the top of the Nakatomi Plaza. I'm putting myself in all of them. Mm-hmm. I want to.
Can you remind me what the Nakatomi Plaza is?
Die Hard.
I am just kidding. Die Hard.
I mean, I'm being kidnapped. I'm being whatever. Whatever the thing is, I want to have this team be able to get me out of whatever the hell it is.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
You're going to be the damsel in distress every single week.
Which I kind of am already.
That's
so,
true.
But I don't have this team assembled, so now I will after this.
You're just constantly in distress.
So Mr. Ocean, a.k.a. from Ocean's 11, this he is what they call the face character. You know, he's my smart guy. He's my guy that if there is some sort of political wheelings and dealings, he's the guy that can schmooze. He's the guy that orchestrates the plan. He's the guy that... He's the head honcho, kind of planner of said escape for me, of rescue for me. Mm-hmm. So whether that involves just busting down the doors, shooting some people up, getting me out, or it's something a little bit more refined where we have to get a key card. We have to, you know, we have to get into this foreign country, so we have to get passports and we have to do whatever.
Cause he's also super rich, right?
He's doing just fine. After the Ocean's 11, 12, 13 capers, he's doing fine financially.
Doing fine. Yeah.
So he's got that part on lockdown.
So
as
if
well.
He needs to helicopter you out, that's no problem.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
He's the guy that is going to kind of be the architect of what is going on. So if I need a dude to go in and shoot some people up, he's not my guy, but he will make sure the plan is in place for my guy. to succeed, to make sure he's got an exit plan. And we've got the passports and we've got the thing. So he's my schmoozer. He's my political guy. He's you got to have the brains of the operation. So that's why I'm taking Mr. Ocean to oversee what's going on.
Very nice. I've never actually seen the Ocean's movies.
You know what? They are.
Nor have I.
They're.
But we've seen the live-action Jungle Book.
Yes!
They're not... The Ocean's movies are not like, oh my god, you haven't seen the Ocean's movies. But it's a fun movie-going experience.
I know Brad Pitt, like, eats a sandwich in every scene, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was his choice, was that,
something
like, his
like
character's
that.
Always eating.
He's got a great cast of good actors that have
what
fun
I know.
In the roles. It's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
I like the planner, which brings me to my number four, which is also the planner. So my sniper, by the way, I want to point out that all of these characters, no matter if they're evil in the movies or TV or whatnot, they're on my team, so they will work to save me.
Yes, queen.
Your best interest at heart.
Yes. So my number four comes from a little video game called Wolfenstein The New Order.
Really. Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein. It's... a very minor side character called Tekla. This person, I also needed a planner. This person is an overactive genius, meaning she can barely function. She's just constantly running scenarios and statistics and comparisons in her mind. So when we need a plan, she'll be the one to look at it, be like, that has a 26% chance of success. But like, what if we do this? Okay, it's a 42% chance of success. Like, okay, well, how can we make it better? Like, if you moved these two things, and if you went in through the left to the instead of the right, then you have a 78% chance of success. I'd be like, well, let's do that then.
Okay.
So that's what I want.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're almost doing a Rain Man-style plan around there.
Yeah. I also thought of, I don't think he's on your list, so I'll just say, I also was thinking of Data from Star Trek, but
sure.
He was a robot.
Oh, he's a robot.
So it's kind of a superpower.
Oh,
yeah.
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 But
okay.
I needed somebody to just to be there over the shoulder and be like, no, everyone will die if we do that.
Oh, you mean the suicide mission? Great.
Yeah, great. That's my number four. Tekla from Wolfenstein The New Order. Susan,
sorry,
getting
that,
very
that
family.
Weird sound that
we got, listeners we got dog
just
snuggles.
Heard was me
snuggling a pooch.
Snuggling the dog.
That'll be your number four.
Nala from The Lion King.
You're putting a lion on your list?
Yeah, that's not a superpower.
It's not a superpower. It's
so. Did you pick her just because she was a lion, or
no,
why
I
did why
her
she on your list?
She's cool. Because when she and Simba are reunited, when they're older lions,
She's a super hot lion.
Yeah, when they're older, sexually mature lions, they are reunited because she saves him from something, right?
You know what you sound like right now? You know what you sound like?
Wait, shit, I forgot.
You sound like a kid trying to, like a high school student trying to bullshit their paper on the...
Hey, man. How do you think I got through high school?
Let me set the stage for you.
Yes.
You're trapped in quicksand.
Ah.
A fucking lion shows up.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
A Disney animated feminist lion shows up.
Don't listen to the man.
She's like, Simba, Simba's over in the corner like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm a vegetarian. And she's like, shut up. I got this. Get me a vine. Turn it into a lasso, hand it to that girl, and I'll pull it with my teeth.
I feel like I
don't have opposable thumbs!
I feel like I'd rather
shut up, Simba!
I'd rather have Timon and Pumbaa than
Nala?
Than Nala.
Because she's dangerous?
Well, also, she's a lion.
Also, she had the courage to stand up to Scar.
Exactly. She stood up to Scar. Fuck, I can't remember why they get reunited. Something
they're supposed to?
Happens. Something happens.
Because
like,
she attacks Pumbaa.
She attacks Pumbaa, that's what it is. She's chasing Pumbaa, and then, oh, so never mind.
Are you reneging on Nala?
Anyway.
It's funny because I feel like your quicksand scenario is quite literally the least lion friendly scenario. Unless your scenario was, I am in a room where if lions appear, they are instantly turned to dust. Like that's the only other thing.
I live in a world where if animals are fed enough, they will get along with humans. And so I'm like thinking that, and there it goes again, because at the time that when she is a mature lion, there's famine on the planet. God damn it.
Let me tell you how Nala's a good pick. Let me tell you when you use Nala. You're in the top of the fucking Nakatomi Plaza.
The Nakatomi Plaza?
And a lion comes out of the fucking elevator.
Yeah.
And Nala eats all the fucking bad guys.
Yeah.
That is fucking
useful. And then she's
useful.
So full that she looks at you and you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then she comes over to you. She looks you in the eyes.
And licks your face.
And licks your face and rubs her head against your hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's
and
there
she
to
purrs.
Save you.
And she purrs.
But remember, like we just said, these people have, and animals have your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
So no matter what, Nala will never
exactly,
eat you.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And
so
like,
fine, if you want a lion eating dudes, that's great.
Well, and I'm also like thinking of Nala at a time when
you are empowering this lion in ways she needs not be empowered.
Ladies gotta stand together, yo.
My God, if my little girl doesn't realize
I'm
going to
meet your little
lion,
girl when she can talk, I'm going to be like, listen, your dad's going to tell you that Nala won't save you from quicksand. He's wrong. He's dead wrong. Don't listen to him.
And my daughter's going to go, stranger!
Yeah, probably. And then she's going to like run to her.
And then
her
Nala's gonna
witch
jump out of the bush
because you won't take her to a pediatrician.
Nala's gonna jump out of the local bushes and maul you because I will have Nala trained not to save quicksand but to devour
the
enemies.
No, but see, in my
enemies.
Scenario, Nala, like I've Nala's at the point where she won't eat Timon and Pumbaa. You know,
yeah,
like,
of course.
Like
yeah,
this isn't the Nala that jumps out of the woods and tries to eat Pumbaa. This is the Nala who's friends with Simba, who like is maybe gonna marry Simba someday,
yeah.
Who defeats Scar, who you know.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I'm telling you right now, if I'm trying to get out of quicksand, Nala, nowhere on my list.
All right.
Nowhere,
all right.
Not even a top 100.
What about
list.
Simba? He's a vegetarian.
Simba ain't on my lists.
He's so a veg.
If I'm looking to rip throats and save me from dudes. Lions, high.
It's true.
High on
that
the
is
list.
True.
I'm
that's
looking
true.
To
much
rip
higher on the
and
list.
Save me from dudes. You're not taking any of his characteristics into account. He's a vegetarian.
Yeah, then Simba's way low on the list because he's not ripping throats. Unless I'm being kidnapped by a bunch of fucking tomatoes.
It could be VeggieTales.
If I am put in peril by VeggieTales, nobody should save me. Yeah. I deserve to die.
I think we should figure out who your number four is.
Fine,
Steve.
We should. Because I'll tell you, I have the brains in the operation, and I'm not looking back. I'm going force. I'm going force. Danny Ocean can keep everyone else in check. Because number four, I got to have the lady in case I do need a little bit of the sultry side. In case I need a little bit of that seduction going on. Because I'm telling you right now, you laugh now, no one's laughing at Xenia from GoldenEye. Nobody.
Okay.
Xenia on the top.
That's the one. Because, A, she is hot as they get, sexy as they come.
But how does that help you?
Because.
Does it help you because it, like, makes you feel better because there's this hot chick, or is she able to, like, lure bad guys away? Wait, what is your scenario again?
I will tell you this. It does not make me feel any worse than a gorgeous woman is coming to rescue me.
Doesn't it make you feel worse about, like, yourself?
No.
I mean, like, when I encounter someone who's hotter than me, I get, like, really shy.
Oh, I mean, but it's not, so the thing is, I've already been put, like, I imagine myself in the middle of some sort of room surrounded by armed guards tied to the chair, and, like, I'm not going anywhere. So I don't really care who it is that comes to the door to rescue me, and all if right, it just so right. happens to be a smoking hot murder machine, I feel fine about it. I feel, in fact, slightly better about it if it's.
She's gonna rescue me, and I feel fine.
Yes, that's what's gonna happen.
That was my take on the Beatles.
Also, if need be, if there needs to be a little bit of seduction.
Wait, remind Xenia. Me what your scenario.
It's any scenario.
It's anything.
Anything except quicksand. Okay. It's any scenario except quicksand.
Hotness won't save you from quicksand.
Hotness. Does not
quicksand eats quicksand. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
That is an age-old tale of hotness does not save you from the quicksand.
Yeah. Okay.
Why would this? Why would she?
Why? So if she needs to seduce one of the gentlemen, whatever it is that may, or one of the ladies. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Because Danny Ocean can't do everything by himself. Sometimes you got to have the feminine wiles, and she absolutely brings that to the table. She's drop dead gorgeous, both in murder machine wear and also night wear. Not a problem.
She is a spy, right? Spy assassin in the movie?
I'd say she's more assassin than spy. Okay. Yes. But gorgeous murder machine, doesn't even need guns to kill you, can kill you with her thighs.
But you need to be having sex with her first.
Not necessarily.
She can jump on you and kill you with her thighs.
There's that dude, she just like jumps on him with her thighs and like starts strangling him with like they're in the jungle. And he's just like a lowly guard. And she's like, hey, I could shoot you, but instead, yeah! He's like, this is the perfect way to die! She's gorgeous, a murder machine, and can also use her feminine wiles when need be. Done. Game, set, match, Xenia.
That's your number four.
Yes.
My number three, speaking of power, I need a tank. If there is a situation where pure, brute strength is needed. If I am trapped in a jail cell, I need somebody who's not a superhero that can feasibly maybe pull those bars apart.
Colossus.
I picked the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Honorable mention for me. Yep.
Yes. I just need somebody who can rip people's heads off if he wants to. He doesn't need guns. He bursts through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man, but way scarier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Debatable, actually.
Sure.
And he just rips off people's heads, and he rips out people's throats. He shoves people against the wall, and their skulls crack open. This guy is a force of nature. He is a walking typhoon. And no matter what situation you are in, he will burst in there, rip you out.
Well, damn.
Safely, because he has your best interest at heart.
Okay.
Yes, you.
Yes. Yes, me. And then utterly destroy anything else that comes in his path.
So the Mountain, of course, as we mentioned, played by the actual person, Hafþór Bjornsson, which is one of the most badass names, period.
Hafþór Bjornsson.
But I honestly think that if I had a regular, like a police-issue handgun, and Hafþór Bjornsson burst through this wall, Kool-Aid Man style, and I shot him in the chest, I truly believe he would still pick me up and smash my skull against the wall.
Yeah, that's true. It would, like, ricochet into the room.
Yeah, it
would do more damage to you. It's like hitting a moose with your car.
It's
more likely to kill you.
That's right.
Than to kill it.
My number three is also my tank.
Okay.
But, he just edged out the mountain off of my list. That's a great pick.
Well, that's my number three. Suze, what's your number three?
All right. Now, this number three may be up for debate, but
it's a worm.
Okay. It's a worm. No. This is Rufus from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Now, hear me out. He doesn't have powers. He uses the time machine, which is not his own power.
And can you just remind me who Rufus is?
Oh, he's the time traveling guy. Like, he's the reason why Bill and Ted go on their excellent adventure.
Okay.
And he's George Carlin.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it's been a long time.
He always shows up just when they need him.
Mm-hmm.
And he
So is it him with the time machine?
You know, that, so we can take that out. Like, in this scenario, he can just be walking through the woods and hear me being like, help, I'm stuck in the quicksand. And then he'll walk up to the quicksand and he'll be like, well, what are you doing in there? And we'll theorize about it for a while. So, like, you guys chose the brawn for your third. I chose the brains for my third.
Okay. So this is your planner.
Rufus is, like, very steady. He'll keep you calm. Cause that is, like, the number one key. Like the number one piece of advice when you're stuck in quicksand, right, is to remain calm because the more you struggle, the quicker you sink. Remember
that? You went with quicksand.
Remember that from school?
You quicksand school.
Quicksand section.
The quicksand section of school.
Yeah, that was my entire senior year. I remember it very well.
Yeah. And so he would be a calming influence.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to point out at this point. And just the difference of opinion on the question. Zero gun-wielding capability on her side. Massive gun-wielding capability on our side.
Oh, they're all capable of wielding guns.
Except one is a minor, and she's a little child. And one lacks opposable thumbs.
Since when in this country have we denied guns to minors? But anyway.
Since when have we denied guns to lions?
And lions, too. I mean, this is a debate for another time.
I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just an interesting, different.
Yeah, this is why we like to have guests on, because we tend to pick a lot of the same choices.
Except minor
guns won't really help you with quicksand.
Well, I mean, let's find out.
They shoot the quicksand. Like, I don't know what to
do. Yeah, and then they shoot me by accident. Would help me even less.
Can we just verify that nobody has shot quicksand?
Steve, if you're afraid of Nala mauling me to death.
Not you.
Who are you afraid of her mauling, though?
I'm not afraid of her mauling anyone. I encourage her mauling.
Then why didn't you want... You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Okay. That's fine. It's in the past.
It's in the past.
We look forward.
It's in the past. You know who's the only one who can go to the past? Rufus.
So is he the voice of reason, then?
He's the voice of reason.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Well, I'm going back to Tank. I want you. You have your brains. I already got my brains. Mm-hmm. I need my brawn, just like
brawn.
Yeah.
Brawny paper towels.
Yeah, brawn, just like me.
And I'll tell you,
I'm flexing my muscles for people at home.
You're flexing.
If
your
none of you
arm.
Have ever seen Wesley Whitaker,
yeah, he's lax.
He's
not
about
what call the brawn.
Six. What are you? Six.
6'2", and 170 pounds.
There we go.
Oh. Yeah, girl, you weigh about 10 pounds more than me.
Yeah.
Of skull crushing doom. But
I am 5'10" and 160, so like. There's not a huge difference there.
No one's judging you.
Was wondering.
Ooh. No one's judging you here. It's okay. But I'll tell you who's probably about 240 of just skull crushing. And again, the reason I left the mountain off is because I feel like the mountain lacks some of the mental capabilities. If he doesn't have the
brain.
So
you want brains and brawn.
He's not the...
Like, you don't want a troll from Harry Potter.
Exactly. He's not the brainiest dude. I'm not claiming that. But he, I feel like he has a little bit more gray matter than the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, am going with Dutch, which more commonly known as Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from Predator.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. So we're talking about a bunch of roided out machismo dudes from Predator because it's one of the greatest action movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the guy with the minigun, Jesse the Body Ventura. We've got Carl Weathers in there. We've got dudes that get destroyed
Carl
by
Weathers.
The Predator. Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is...
This is prime Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Prime Arnold
Primo yeah. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But he also outsmarts the Predator, which is not the most important thing. But I'm saying that he... Say he is... He's sent in as my tank. That's his job.
Mm.
But say he busts through the wall, and it's the wrong wall. And he was, like, that's where the plan was, but the bad guys moved.
We don't got
me.
The insurance to pay for that.
You know, like, and,
you gotta, it's one and done, man. You only get one chance to go through that wall.
Mm. Dutch is smart enough to bust through the wall, see that I am not there, and not be just lost in, and just stay in that room where I fear the mountain may then just start smashing whatever is around him. You know, like, I'm just gonna go kill whatever the fuck I see.
Friend or foe.
Sure.
And Dutch is, he's not a genius. He's not, but he's smart enough to be like, oh, Steve's not in here. I bet they moved him up a floor or down a floor or whatever that, and like, and at least have some cognitive capacity to use his brawn in the next step of the plan.
I sure. just you know? Want to point out that in ancient Greek mythology, Hercules succeeded in his tasks, not necessarily because of his brawn, but because of his brains.
Exactly.
So,
that is true. Exactly.
That is a good way to go.
Again, mm-hmm. so we're not talking, this is not a Mensa-level tank character, but we've got one that can at least figure out, you know, some, oh, he may, maybe he's up a floor.
Use some
you
common
know,
sense.
A little common sense with okay. my tank is what I'm looking for right there. So, and, I mean, the greatest handshake of all time.
I forgot the handshake.
Come on, man!
What? I'm sorry!
Between him and Carl Weathers in Predator.
Carl Weathers.
Whenever I think of Carl Weathers,
I think of Arrested Development.
Exactly.
He goes, you son of a bitch. And they do the thumbs meet handshake. It is the close-up on both of their forearms/biceps just fucking
yep.
trembling
yep.
as they... It's the greatest handshake of all time.
It's like when you and I shake hands. Our forearms and biceps
yes.
are like right there.
You son of a bitch.
Pah! Totally.
Veins bite emanates
totally
from it.
That.
Yes.
Right. So give me Dutch from Predator.
Yeah. My number two, you are right. The mountain lacks the cognitive abilities to, you know, to have some common sense. Presumably we never get to see him be smart on the show. Anyway. So we're going to need some eyes and ears in this situation. We're going to need a good hacker to hack in security cameras. By the way, my sticky situation, I pictured I was in, for some reason, I just finished Nikita, so I'm like in the spy mode right now. I pictured being held in like a government facility with all kinds of guards and cameras and lookouts and whatnot. Hence why I have a sniper and a planner and the brawn. Uh-huh. And now we need the eyes and ears who can hack into the security system, look through the security cameras, and be the voice in the ear of the mountain or whoever is going in. So I'm going with, I talked about Seymour Burkoff a couple of weeks ago.
From what again?
From Nikita. I'm going with somebody different this
what
time.
Is Nikita?
It's a, have you ever seen Alias with Jennifer Garner?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the same thing, only better. It's a female-led spy show, and I love it.
Cool.
It's great. So I'm going with Chloe O'Brien from 24. This is, has anybody seen 24 here?
I've never watched 24.
I've never watched 24.
Okay. Played by Marilyn Ricecup.
Good things.
Blind Brenda in Road Trip.
Kay.
Anybody? Okay. Anyway, she is a computer genius. She's a hacking genius. And if need be, she can don the body armor and walk in there. She is weapons capable, not a weapons master.
Okay.
If need be. But she's going to be the eyes and ears and voice throughout this. She's going to be leading people around. In whatever operation that I'm in, whatever sticky situation I am in. So that's what I want. Somebody able to hack into any system and can plan on the fly, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, you're looking for your tech-savvy, mm-hmm. you know, computer person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Living in 2016, baby!
Yeah, no, it's not, you're not wrong. I will get to it in my number two as well. But it's, I don't know
you don't
the
know her.
Character, but I understand the idea of that type of character.
Sure. So that's my number two, Chloe O'Brien for 24. Sue's to you.
Princess Leia.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
You've got a diverse cast over there. Is this slave girl Leia, or are we?
Any of them. Because before I thought about my scenario being
quicksand.
I just love that she just instinctually shoots a hole to go down in the trash chute.
Yes.
And like, it's a really terrible option. Because
spoilers for Star Wars.
Oh yeah, in case no one's ever watched the first ever Star Wars.
40 years ago.
Oh,
God,
Jesus.
40 years.
You've missed out already if you haven't watched it. But yeah, so whereas we had Rufus, who's the calming influence, and we had we didn't really say what Nala's like attribute would be.
It's being a fucking lion.
It's being fierce. And then there's Chihiro, who's like, you guys, like, we actually have a problem here. We have to work together. Then we have Princess Leia, who's like, all right, she's stuck in the sand. What are we going to do about it? I'm going to throw this at her. That didn't work. All right, here, now let's try that.
Yes, very.
And that's exactly what she sounds like.
So it sounds like we're going more New Hope Leia. As opposed to Leia, where she's a general kind of like character.
Oh, you mean in the newest?
Yeah, but also edition. I mean even in Return of the Jedi, she's planning the assault on the Death Star, and
yeah, even as slave Leia, she's a little more subtle, and maybe that's
plotting,
partially because she's grieving because Han's frozen
carbonate.
So she. But yeah, she's not as rambunctious.
So we're going more off the handle, flying off the handle, Leia early.
Yeah, because that's a Leia who started off with a lot of power as a princess, and then all of a sudden she's captive, and she lets go of all of her princessy notions, and becomes this kind of animal fighter, and just kind of uses whatever resources she has around her.
Kind of taps into that.
Exactly.
Which you imagine she's rarely had to tap into before.
Exactly. So,
this is why you have that kind of calming influence on the earlier picks, because you've got this big...
Because you've got Princess Leia throwing out ideas right and left.
And just taking action.
Very
decisive.
Yeah, because, again, she's a princess, so she's used to having her orders carried out.
Well, Princess Leia is the one that probably shot the quicksand. Like, she's in quicksand! Shoot the quicksand!
Yeah, exactly. She shot the quicksand. I was like, ah, my leg! And then they're like, all right, what next?
Hey, can we not shoot the quicksand?
Yeah, and
anymore?
Then, yeah, George Carlin's like, all right. So, that didn't work. And Chihiro's like, you guys, her leg! It's falling in the quicksand! And Nala eats the leg.
Because it's delicious. She's a lion. That's how it goes.
She's a lion.
At the end of this podcast.
At least then I still have my leg bone.
I want to hear the one woman, one act play of you falling into quicksand and getting rescued.
Sue's from the quicksand.
That's right. So your number two is Princess Leia.
Yes.
Strong pick.
Thank you.
So Wes, I too, as I mentioned before, I was thinking about the types of character. The tank, the computer guy, the brains, the this. And then that's when I said
the Latin lover.
That's why my number two is Antonio Banderas. Not a character.
Yes,
Antonio Banderas.
Just Antonio.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest,
well, Zorro doesn't have any superpowers. I guess we could have used him.
The character from Desperado would be an excellent pick at number two.
Is he your number one?
It's not. It should be, but
it should
not be.
It is now.
But then I realized that I'm not casting a movie. I am in trouble. And these are the people I need to save me. And my number, honestly, I would take my number one over anybody else at any time, but my number two is I would probably take him over almost anybody else. And my number two is Leon from Leon the Professional.
Ooh, nice pick.
He is a trained assassin, but not only is he a trained assassin, he's an assassin with a heart.
Of gold. Mm-hmm.
When it counts. It is not for his enemies. It is not for the job that needs to be done.
I have a question. Right. Would you say he has a heart of gold or a heart of metal?
Oh, I mean, obviously a metal heart.
Yeah. I would say he has a compass heart.
Oh.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
nice.
It points in one direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll leave it at that.
It always points north.
It always points.
He's a master assassin. He's a master of weaponry, whether that be the grenades, whether that be the handheld guns, the super rifles, whatever that is. But I know that if I were stuck in any room, anywhere, and they said, in some kind of informant somehow whispered to me, it's like, Leon is coming.
Yeah.
I'd be like, cool. I feel
good.
I feel all right.
I'll meditate until then.
I don't care if there are security cameras and this and like, you know, laser gates that need to be penetrated and this and whatever. I don't care.
Did we install the laser gates?
Laser gates are fully operational, sir.
Help me.
I believe that Leon will get past all of those things.
Uh-huh.
Whether he shot up or not, he will get past those things, and he very well may be carrying his plant with him. I don't know. I don't care. It's not important to me. I hope that it's there.
Hmm.
So, Leon, from Leon the Professional, because also I feel like when I sign up for Leon, I'm also kind of getting a young Natalie Portman influence in there.
Like a sidekick?
She's not coming in with him. But it'll be in his ear somehow.
Like the child
right.
voice of moral
the
compass, maybe?
I feel like it's not...
Of reason.
I'm not getting 100% of it, but
right.
I'm getting...
Because,
I'm getting a waft
so
of
you're
it.
like me getting the Nala who has now aligned herself with Simba and is not
Ooh.
Eating Timon and Pumbaa.
I'm sorry, aligned herself with Simba?
Oh,
I did
no.
It.
I
did it.
I
nailed it, guys. You're welcome.
I mean, if we are going to stretch our... If we're gonna do a stretch to bring Leon to Nala, I'm willing to stretch.
No, I'm just saying, like, if I can have that specific Nala, then yes, you can have Leon, who already has... taken young Natalie Portman under his
yes.
wing, so we already
Post
know.
Post-Matilda, yes.
Yes, we already know, despite all of his subtleties, which is my favorite thing about
Absolutely.
Leon.
Yes.
We know that he does have a compass heart.
Absolutely. Post-Matilda Leon is what I want. And actually, I mean, honestly, if it's getting me out of a situation, it might be pre-Matilda, because
Leon
didn't...
Was Gary Oldman in Matilda?
Yeah. No, Gary, what?
Wait.
No, Matilda's Natalie Portman. That's her character's name.
Never mind.
And because Leon before had zero reservations about anything, period. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Leon is not Gary Oldman.
No. Oh, right. Gary Oldman's the...
Gary Oldman's the villain.
The villain. Right.
Yeah.
Wait. Who plays Leon?
I forget his name.
Shit.
I will look
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes. Jean. You're not far off.
Yeah.
Jean-Ricard Picard.
That's right. That's it.
But yeah. So I just want Leon coming to save me. Whether it's pre, post Matilda, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. He's very capable of doing the job. That's who I want coming after me.
All right. My number one. You looking up his name?
Yes, okay. Jean Reno.
My number one.
Jean Reno.
It's a master spy. A master assassin. A master of weapons. Master of whatever fighting style she fights in. A polyglot. We got, I mentioned her before, Nikita from... Nikita. And she's a natural leader, and she is a huge moral compass as well. She takes down multiple secret government organizations within the world of her show, and she gets the bad people try to take her out using the world's baddest people, and she takes them down one by fucking one.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the show, you might be thinking, oh my god, this is so lame. It is not, I promise you.
What show? What channel was this on?
The CW.
The Come On.
Come On Network.
Sorry. Come on.
This lady does the impossible frequently, and she has no superpowers, and she is great as a spy because she is great looking to boot. Great at recon as well. So there you go.
I just want to remind, when it comes back to me, that you said moral compass. I just want to remind that. So I'm really glad you put this on your list.
Yeah.
Because it's not one that shows up on our list regularly. Not, so I appreciate some again, fresh blood on the mics.
I've never even heard of this.
It was criminally underwatched.
Fresh blood on the mics,
fresh blood in the lists.
It's a bloody room.
It's
a bloody room right now.
Fresh blood in the veins.
which I do appreciate. And you know, so I mean, we're kind of doing a James Bond lady character, mm-hmm. kinda, mm-hmm. which sounds like a very good pick. Again, I've not seen Nikita either, but it sounds like a good pick.
Yeah.
You have confidence with her coming after you.
Oh my God. Utter confidence. Much like your Leon's. Like, Nikita's after me? Just crossing my legs and just waiting. Okay.
See you in a few.
Yep. Bye. That's my number one. Nikita from Nikita.
All right.
Sue's take it away.
Nikita
Who's your top
Nikita,
pick?
Nikita, my top pick. Wesley from The Princess Bride.
That's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick at all.
Even death.
Yeah.
Can't. Stop him.
That was the tagline of the movie, I believe.
Was it even death, pause, can't. Lip lick, can't stop him.
Can't, yeah.
So why is he on your list?
Well, quicksand, for one thing.
Clearly.
Yeah.
He's good at rescuing people from quicksand.
That didn't even think of that.
Yeah. He's a master of disguise.
She said, disguising your voice.
He could be me right now. We don't even know.
Oh, my God. Cary Elwes is Wesley. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Cary Elwes sounds horrible.
He has not aged well. This is his publicist now.
Mm-hmm. So in case he has to sword fight the quicksand.
I guess I'm going with a lot of like steady thinkers and, you know, his way of getting Buttercup out of the quicksand is to,
you know,
like,
what? It's,
give her a vine.
It's funny you keep coming back
he goes in with the vine, right? Yeah,
yes.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny you keep coming back to your quicksand desperate time, but like, You have a swashbuckler and a lion. Like, you could be the damsel in distress in the top of a tower, and those two are going to clean house.
Yeah.
He's going to swing through on a vine after he rescues you with the vine, and you get kidnapped by the Duke of whatever.
Yep.
He swings through on the same vine, riding a lion.
Yeah.
He's heroic, romantic. Quick thinking. Sword fighter? Like, he's
and
great.
And he's like, even when you think he's dead, he's still saving people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you've got Princess Leia shooting the place up.
Oh, yeah.
You've got this swashbuckler.
I think Princess Leia and Wesley would be a really good team because,
be great.
Buttercup, much as I love that movie, she doesn't do much for herself.
No.
And Princess Leia does a lot for herself. Sometimes too much. Like, Princess Leia, they're all flawed characters in Star Wars, but Princess Leia's flaw is that she does a little too much. She's a little too type A.
Sure.
And you need to tell her every now and then, stop, this ain't working.
Yeah.
And I think Wesley and Princess Leia together would even each other out so nicely.
You have the potential right now for Princess Leia to bust down a door, shooting lasers, riding a lion.
A lioness. Who, by the way, are the hunters.
Yes.
So.
Well, a dude is sword fighting people in the background to come save you. I mean, this. Yeah. Well, a little kid does something adorable.
Yeah, while a little kid reminds them all that I'm in the quicksand in case
you know,
they forget.
I appreciate
with all their
you,
heroics.
I appreciate you shooting this place up, but she's still in the quicksand
back there. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a movie I will watch right there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean, you may be dead, but I will watch the movie. The quicksand may get you.
I never die.
You're like, oh God,
it's
not his name.
You guys don't know this, thank you.
It's only like I'm looking
my
at
my other
right
number
now.
One. I have another number one.
Secret number one?
Me. I am my own hero.
Oh, because you can climb out of the quicksand?
I can.
So and everyone stands around the quicksand trying to save you, and you're like, I got it.
And then I, like,
you find
come up behind them. I'm like, what are you guys looking at?
Oh, hey. Want to go ride this line and shoot laser guns?
Yeah.
It's a great number one.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Wesley.
I will tell you right now, I will take my number one over either of yours top five combined.
Damn.
Whoa, okay.
Over.
This is what he does. He makes these strong statements.
Over the rest of my four, I will take my number one.
Okay.
All right,
if
all
I
right.
only get one pick, period, it is my number one. And it is John Wick.
I haven't seen it.
Who?
You still haven't seen it!
No, I haven't.
Jesus Christ!
Oh, that's a Keanu Reeves movie, right?
It is Keanu Reeves. It's maybe...
I love Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah?
I may be the only person in America to say that. Although, like, he's like... There's all those memes of him nowadays that it's like, look at Keanu Reeves doing nice things for people on the subway.
I love The Matrix. It is in my top 10 movies of all time.
Oh, it's great.
I love Speed, and I love Point Break.
Yeah, I love Speed, too.
There are other Keanu Reeves movies
Speed 2. I don't like Speed 2. No one likes Speed 2.
Cruise Control, no dice.
I like Speed.
I also really like The Devil's Advocate. I think John Wick is my favorite Keanu Reeves movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta see this now.
It's phenomenal. And this is the reason John Wick is my number one. Honestly, it is because of the monologue that is delivered by, that's 80% of the reason. There's a Russian character that is now on the opposite side of John Wick, who is an assassin.
We now return to our segment. Sorry, Yuri. Once again, the Russians are the enemies.
The Russian mob boss explains who John Wick is by saying that, his son says, what is John Wick? He's like, they call him the boogeyman. He's like, no. John Wick is not the boogeyman. John Wick is who you call when you need to kill the boogeyman.
Whoa.
And John Wick is a one-man wrecking crew that whether it requires subtlety to get to the mission complete, whether it involves shooting 35 people in the face, it does not matter.
Do what it takes.
He is a man possessed by whatever the deed is that needs to be done, and nothing stops John Wick. He strikes fear into the heart of everyone who knows what he is. John Wick cannot be stopped. He is the best. And the movie is the best. And there is, as I mentioned, if someone said, Leon is coming for you, I'm 90% sure I'm doing fine. If someone said, in both ways, if someone said that John Wick is coming for you and like to come get me to kill me, I would probably just kill myself right then. I would probably
take
just
your cyanide.
Yeah, cool. I'm out. Wick's coming.
Yeah.
I'm out. Not interested. Yeah. Also, on the other hand, it said John Wick is coming to save you. As you mentioned, like kick back, put my legs up. Like I do not care what happens coming up because I know everyone around me that is a bad guy is dead. They are fucking dead, and I'm fine.
Now, on that note, though, here's my question, just because I haven't seen the movie. Is he like Leon the Professional, where like, we know he has a compass heart?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
A compass heart.
I will tell you right now.
Now, is there a point in the movie where we have to meet his character in order for that to be true?
Does
he adopt a little child or something?
It happens quickly. His moral...
Don't give it away.
Actually, so the way I will put it is this, is that... this is one of the few movies I mentioned with Wes before. There's like this and Mad Max and The Raid. These kind of movies where like it's in what I call like an on rails action movie where it's like, and like you start the movie and we're going like a train forward and there is no reason
no
to derail
off,
the train.
Yeah.
We're not turning. We're not stopping at stations. We are fucking going forward. It's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It's fantastic. So like the moral compass is, as soon as a train gets on the tracks, the moral compass says, and we're off. It's like the conductor. And here we go. Next stop, the end of the movie. Like, that's it. It happens quickly. And if you like Leon, I think you will really like John Wick as well.
Nice. I still need to see it.
You need to see it this week.
It sounds like a really great number one.
Listen to me.
Okay.
You need to see it this week.
Do you have it?
No, but great. I will buy it if you will watch it.
I will watch it if you buy it.
I will rescind on the things I just said.
All right, my top five in review. My number five was Erwin Koenig, Enemy at the Gates, Evil Sniper. My number four was Tekla from Wolfenstein The New Order. My number three was The Mountain from Game of Thrones. My number two was Chloe O'Brien from 24. My number one was Nikita from Nikita.
My number 5 was Chihiro from Spirited Away. Number 4, Nala from Lion King. Number 3, Rufus from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Number 2, Princess Leia from Star Wars. Duh, you idiots. And number 1, Wesley from The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
My number 5, we're going with Mr. Ocean from Ocean's 11. We're going with Xenia from GoldenEye. We are going with number 3, Dutch, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from Predator. We're going to Leon from Leon, also known as The Professional. Number 1, John Wick.
Which you will not buy to loan to me, is what I'm hearing.
I still might.
Okay. Well,
I love it.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, we love hearing what you guys have to say. Steve, where can they find us?
Everywhere.
Great. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. I thought I'd throw it to you this week and see what you did. I was not disappointed. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
Again, we want to hear your top 5 rescue squad that no superheroes on the rescue squad, because number 1 is Batman.
No superpowers,
no superheroes, no super nothing.
Wait, but okay. Here's my thing about that. Batman, he doesn't actually have powers, right?
He just has
a lot of money. He's like Danny Ocean.
No, he's not.
But like he has a lot of money and therefore a lot of like cool things.
He's labeled as a superhero.
He is a superhero.
All right.
In fact, the best superhero.
See, I had the same thing, but... You know.
Mere Mortal Rescue Squad. That's what we want to hear. I want to know your guys' top 5. Write us in next week. We'll read it on air. Can't wait to hear from you.
Facebook and Twitter?
I mean, they're soon.
Yeah.
Soon as I buy John Wick.
That's right.
Give it to Wes. Facebook and Twitter are right there.
Then all the technology will be together.
It's all there.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
I'm Suze.
That was 5. And we're out!